Let's get into this morning's message. I want to start with a quote from Max Dupree. It says, "We cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. We cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are." As we're talking about the concept of shift in the Christian life, how are you going to become what you need to be? What you need to be in your marriage, what you need to be in your parenting, what you need to be at your school, what you need to be for God. How are you going to become what you need to be by remaining what you are? Necessarily so is transformation a part of the Christian process. He says that whenever you meet Christ, the old has passed away and the new has come. So this morning I want you to know that a shift has to occur, that it's a perpetual transformation process. I guarantee you, all of us in here, including myself, have areas of our lives that need to shift, that need to change, that need to grow, that need to adapt. We have areas that we need to put away, some stuff we need to bury because it's not productive. And so in order for those things to occur, we have to have the right vision for our lives. And I guarantee you, all of us in here have some area that has haunted you, that has plagued you, has been a constant thorn in your flesh, and you lack the vision, right? You lack the vision to see clearly how that you can overcome or get around that object. I hope today that I can tell you exactly what God's word says you have to do to find or unlock God's vision for your life. In Matthew chapter 9, we're going to look at a short story and use this as a template and overlay Exodus chapter 3 when Moses had the encounter with the burning bush. It says this, "And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, 'Have mercy on us, son of David.' When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe I am able to do this? Do you believe I am able to do this?'" Whatever your problem is this morning, whatever your struggle is this morning, whatever your stress is this morning, I want to ask you, whenever you come before God and he asks you this question, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" You have to at some point arrive at the answer that these blind men had. They said, "Yes, Lord. Do you believe I am able to do this? Yes, Lord." I'm going to tell you, we could get so much further, so much faster, if we could arrive at "Yes, Lord," whenever he asks us a question. The answer is, when God asks you to do something, it should be "Yes, Lord." And so here, these men have an issue. They're blind. They cannot see. And he says, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" They say, "Yes, Lord." And then he has an interesting phrase. He says, "According to your faith," right? "According to your faith, be it done unto you." So what does this tell us? This draw back for just a moment. He's saying that there is sight that is available, but it's according to your faith. In other words, you have to add belief to your blindness if you want to be able to see. You have to add belief to your blindness if you want to be able to see. Faith fixes broken vision. Faith fixes broken vision. This morning, if you have an area of your life in which you can't see clearly, how do I put these pieces back together? How do I ascend this next mountain? How do I know how to choose left or right when I come to the fork in the road? How do I deal with this difficult relationship? There are so many twists and turns in life. And if you don't have vision, what do you think are the consequences of broken vision? I mean, it's going to be aimlessness. It's going to be purposelessness. There's going to be a lot of stress. There's going to be a lot of sleepless nights. There's going to be a lot of times where you fall in the ditch as a result of not having vision from God. So this morning he says, if you want to get past, get over, get through whatever it is that is your stress, your struggle, your problem, whatever you want to term it, he says, you got to have vision. In order to have vision, you have to add belief. Now understand, there's a difference between Christians saying, "Well, I hope God does X, Y, Z. I would like to change. I hope I'm going to change in 2016. There's a difference between saying, I hope or I would like, versus I believe that only in Christ, I believe only in Christ am I able to overcome this obstacle. See, when you get to the end of you, you'll find the beginning of God. So he says, according to your faith, there are some things that are locked up, right? There are some things that are behind the curtain that can only be revealed, that can only be unlocked whenever you add faith to the equation. So this 2016, as we begin to approach this new year, I want you to think about, are there any areas of your life that are constantly causing you struggle? And have you ever added faith to that area? Have you ever asked, what does God say about that? Am I seeing this from the right perspective? Or this morning, do I need to shift my perspective and see it differently through God's eyes? That brings us to Exodus chapter 3. God is asking the question in Matthew 9, do you believe I am able to do this? He asked this question in many different ways to many different people in the Bible. As we find Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he's getting ready to ask him the same question. Moses, do you believe I am able to deliver this people through you? Do you believe that I am able to end 400 years of bondage, that they can have a breakthrough that they haven't experienced in generations? Moses, do you believe I'm able to do this? Now, before we read this passage, I need to set up the context. For the first 40 years of Moses' life, it was miraculous. Number one, he was born as a Hebrew person in the midst of Egyptian territory, and the Pharaoh proclaimed a genocide was going to occur. And his mom hid him. Instead of exposing him to execution, she hid him. But then Pharaoh's daughter's servant found him in the bulrushes miraculously. Isn't it amazing how God finds stuff, right? It's amazing how he could find stuff. Find stuff that is called, you know, find stuff that's purposed. And so here he finds this child, and this child is raised in Pharaoh's house for his first 40 years. During this time period, if you transpose Hebrews chapter 11 and Acts chapter 7 on top of Exodus chapter 3, then what you'll find is that God had already revealed to Moses that he was supposed to be the deliverer of Israel. And so one day he sees an Egyptian that is oppressing, that is beating up, maybe to the point of attempting to kill one of his fellow Hebrews. And he intervenes. He injects himself into that situation. And the Bible says he struck the Egyptian and he killed him. And then he hid the body because he didn't want to be exposed. And he thought that it was his little secret. And so we see that he was called to do something, and all of a sudden he was doing the right thing, but he was doing it the wrong way. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. He was wanting to do the right thing, but he did it the wrong way. And understand, you need to know the difference between the right way and the wrong way, because you can try to do the right thing, but do it the wrong way, and you can mess it all up. If you've ever tried to give someone news that they don't need or want to hear about themselves, if you do that the wrong way, even though you're saying the right thing, it can go terribly wrong. Like, how do I look in this dress? You got to be careful. You got to be careful with that one, right, guys? I mean, just telling you. And so here was Moses, and he took matters into his own hands, and he tried to force the equation. He tried to do the right thing the wrong way in his own power. And he messed it all up. The next day after he murders this Egyptian, two Hebrews are now arguing. Two of his brothers, if you will, are arguing. And he injects himself in that same situation. And one of the Hebrews turns and looks at him and says, are you going to kill me also like you did the Egyptian? Now, Moses thought that was a secret. And now his secret has been exposed. As a result, he realizes that he has to run. And he runs to this place in the middle of nowhere called Midian. It's very interesting. This place called Midian, it means struggle or strife. So because he tried to do the right thing the wrong way, he's going to spend the second 40 years of his life in struggle. The second 40 years of his life in strife. And what I want you to see this morning is what's going to give him vision, what's going to unlock his struggle, what's going to unlock his stress, what's going to unlock his strife is vision from God. So this morning, if you're going through struggle, stress, strife, I promise you, if you'll listen to these four verses, It's going to give you all the information you need to get to where God's trying to take you. It says that Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. He's met and married out in the midst of Midian. And he's married the daughter of Jethro. And now he's taking care of his flock on the west side. Everybody like, west side? Everyone would throw it up? No, see, all the cool people got that, all right? West side. And so he's in the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. In verse 2 it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now you need to know something before we move forward, that sometimes when it says angel of the Lord, that's not an angel. The word angel means messenger. And this is actually what we call a Christophany, which means a pre-incarnate Christ appearance. So in other words, God himself is showing up for Moses, not just a messenger from God as an angelic being, but God himself is entering into this equation. So it says that the messenger, this Christophany, appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said to himself, now watch this. He says, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. So he's looking at something, right? First glance. And he says, I'm going to turn aside and see what I'm already looking at. I'm going to look at it again with a different perspective. I'm going to shift my perspective and look at what I was already looking at. And all of a sudden, when he turns aside to see, all of a sudden, he hears a voice. All of a sudden, God reveals the vision and says, Moses, Moses, he says, here I am. Now check this out. In Acts chapter 7, 31, it gives commentary. Stephen, one of the deacons in the early church, is recounting the chronology of Israel's history. And he says, Moses saw it, the burning bush, and he was amazed at the sight. And it says that he decided to, what? Draw near to look. Then came the voice. So we see two aspects. Number one, that the voice did not speak to Moses. The vision was not revealed at first glance. That it took a shift in perspective in order to hear the voice. So it took the right vision to hear the right voice. And then he drew near. So two things happened. He took a second look, and then he got close. He wanted to press in to see what God had for him concerning the vision for his life. So as we plow through the next 15 minutes, I want you to consider something, that if you are stuck in the middle of stress, in the middle of strife, in the middle of struggle, how are you going to get out? Whenever you are going through Christianity, going through church, going through Bible study, if all you're doing is taking a glance at what God is trying to reveal, and you're not willing to take a second look and to shift your perspective, then you're never going to have the vision that God's trying to give you to get out of where you are. So that's just the preview of what's coming. Number one, patience and problems will prepare you for the shift. Patience and problems will prepare you for the shift. I want you to think about Moses was out there in the desert for 40 years. He was where he didn't want to be, where he never thought he would be for 40 years. I mean, you have to learn patience when you're somewhere you don't want to be. Can I get an amen? Have you ever been where you don't want to be? Yes, you can clap on that one. Have you ever been where you don't want to be? Have you ever been in a class that you don't want to take? Can I get an amen from the students? Have you ever had a class? Yes. Has anybody ever had a job that you didn't want to do? Amen. Can I get an amen? Everybody's had that job. And what some in this generation don't realize is that you have to do all the bad jobs in order to get to the good job that you're going to. But you got to go through some stuff, right, to get to that job. Anyway, so that's just a side. But anyway, so as we're plowing through this, he didn't want to be there. He didn't choose to be there, but he had made a mistake. And that mistake landed him in Midian. And so I want you to think for just a moment, because if you don't ever like ask yourself contextually what's going on in the Bible, then you really miss the flavor of the scriptures. Think about this. Compare his first 40 with his second 40. I want you to imagine Moses growing up in the palace of Pharaoh. I want you to just imagine every day he wakes up and he's got this incredible bed, right? Just, you can just imagine, right? Like movie size gigantor bedroom, right? And he gets out and his servant has already put his slippers there and delivered him some breakfast in bed. Whatever he chooses, whatever he wants, they just bring it to him. And there's some fresh flowers sitting there with the ambiance filling the room. And he gets his slippers on and he heads down the hallway. And you could just imagine the ornateness of the hallway that he's walking through. That at every turn, there's a servant waiting to do his bidding. Imagine the artwork and the tapestries that adorned this palace. Imagine the fragrance of the perfumes and the aloes that they had that filled up every step of every day. Imagine when you come to evening time and it's time to sit at the dinner table. Can you imagine the spread at Pharaoh's house? Is anybody ready for lunch yet? I mean, steak, filet mignon. I mean, that was Lucas saying amen back there. Every Tuesday at staff meeting, we order lunch, right? And Lucas always tells us that we have to start at 9 o'clock in order to have lunch at 12 o'clock. So he writes lunch on the marker board. So anyway, he loves lunch. So you imagine all of the food that is out there on this table. It just must have been an incredible life. You have to think about this, right? In order to get the contrast, you have to think about this. So that was the first 40 years. And then he tried to do the right thing the wrong way. And all of a sudden, his mistake led him to Midian. Now, how do you know? Because it'd be important to you, right? You want to know what the wrong way looks like. How do you know what the wrong way looks like? I'll explain it to you. And this is a trap many Christians fall into. When you try to do God's will in your power, when you try to substitute your timeline for his timeline, and ultimately when you're trying to prove something to yourself, when you're trying to get glory for yourself, doing right things the wrong way will always lead to you getting the credit for what God's trying to do. And so if you want to discover this morning, are you trying to do the right thing the wrong way? Where is the arrow for the credit going? If it's you, are you praying to be heard from men as the Pharisees did? Are you reading your Bible so that you can appear knowledgeable to those around you? Are you trying to become a great debater so that you can smash people with the scriptures? It's crazy how Christians can try to do the right thing the wrong way. So at the end of the day, if it's not for his glory, you're doing the right thing the wrong way. And I'm telling you, that mistake will land you in Midian. So think about the first 40 years, and now think about the second 40. Now he went from prince of Egypt to lowly shepherd in Midian. The town itself, the name means struggle. Can you imagine what this town was like? It was nothing. It was the wilderness. It was the desert. It was the middle of nowhere. So now he's gone from prince to nobody, from having everything to not having anything. And there's a difference, right? If you've never had anything, then you don't know what you don't know. Amen? Can I get an amen? But once you've had something and you lose it, it's completely different, right? Can I? Yes, okay. So because whatever you've accomplished, and let's say you've climbed this mountain in your life, you've built this relationship, and then you lose it, and you got to go try to build that again. Is that difficult? Is it more difficult? It's more difficult. If you've climbed the ladder of success, and then you fall back down, the second time is going to be naturally harder because in your mind, you're frustrated because you say to yourself, I've already done this. And none of us like to have to redo stuff we've done. Can I get an amen? You want to be able to climb the next mountain, not reclimb the same mountain again. So here is Moses, and it had to be frustrating. And then the smell. You know, there's a difference between the palace and the field with the sheep, right? Can you guys understand what I'm saying? There's a different smell out there. I mean, consider he was in deep shift for 40 years out there in the wilderness taking care of all of these sheep. And so as he's going through this second 40 years of his life, God is saying to him, I'm preparing you to get ready for what I'm going to reveal. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Some of us, until we struggle for a long period of time, until we have stress for a long period of time, we are so hard-headed, we would not see God if he was right in front of us without stress, without struggle, and without strife. At first glance, there was nothing to see. At first glance, Moses was passing by. There's a bush, it's on fire. Do you think that God is doing amazing every day? Can I get an amen? I'm going to tell you right now, every day God wakes up and he does amazing. That's what he does. He doesn't even know how to do anything but amazing. He does awesome every day. So the question is not when you wake up and you go out into the day, if God is doing awesome. The question is, do you see it? Do you see it? Because at first glance, you're not going to see it. You see, our past perspective is a prison that confines what could be. Our past perspective is like a prison. Imagine prison bars in front of you. And your past perspective, it takes and it walls off what could be. What I mean by that is this. Whenever you see things, in psychology, this is a proven phenomenon. Whenever you approach something, let's say you come up against a problem, and I say, hey, you got to solve this problem. I'm going to tell you what you do. In your mind, we all do this, we go through our Rolodex of experience. We go through our Rolodex of our past, and we say, when I faced that situation, this is how I handled it. And so your past experience is how you'd say, well, I did it this way, that's how I'm going to do it this time. Now, problem with that thinking is, what if in your past you were unable to overcome that obstacle? So then your past experience tells you this, well, I don't know how, I'm going to fail at that. Last time I handled that, I didn't handle it so well, and I failed. I didn't accomplish it, so therefore my past tells me when I come up against this thing, I'm not going to succeed. And so if you take the totality of that, we always want to default to the old way, to the old experience. And we're confined by the way we've done things in the past. I mean, sometimes the answer is right in front of you. I mean, this bush was on fire, but at first glance, he didn't see what God was trying to show him, right? It took a second look. It took a shift in his perspective in order to see what God was trying to reveal. So at first glance, he didn't see it. How many of us are confined in doing things the way we've always done them? Can I get an amen? Some of us are so confined about doing things the way that we've always done them. You fight with your spouse the way you've always fought. Did you know that? You're not even improving in your fighting skills. You just keep on fighting the same way over and over again. You do it the way you've done it. The way you do your business, you're doing it the way you've always done it. Never thinking, could it be done differently? Could I change my perspective? Could I open up a different avenue? There are all kinds of opportunities that lay just beneath the surface, but until you have the right vision, you're never going to unlock them. So here was Moses out there in the midst of struggle, and God was saying, I'm going to let you struggle. I'm going to let you stress to the point that I'm preparing you that when you see what I'm trying to show you, you'll take a second look. See, some of you, you're walking through life and God is trying to constantly do amazing right in front of you. But because you're not desperate enough, because you're not hungry enough, because you are not willing to add belief to your blindness, to add faith to your broken vision, he can't fix you until you surrender and say, God, I need you in my life. So as we look at this concept with Moses, we know that God was trying to reveal several things just in the miracle of the burning bush. Consider this. I started looking and I said, there's three messages inside that miracle by itself. Number one, God was telling Moses, I am not confined to the natural. You know, it's not natural for something to be on fire and for it not to burn up, right? Everybody seeing this? God is telling Moses, I am not confined to the natural. Whenever he goes in before Pharaoh, he's going to need a supernatural God to be able to set his people free. And so right from the very beginning in his calling, God is demonstrating, he's affirming the calling in the midst of the miracle. So when you need to do something for God, when he calls you to do something, understand this, he's always going to show you that he is bigger than that situation. He's not confined to the natural. Not only that, that leads us to number two. Moses, what God was communicating to him, I can do things that you've never seen before. You see, Moses had never seen a bush that was on fire and hadn't burned up. And so therefore, to him, in his Rolodex, he didn't have that, right? He didn't have, oh yeah, burning bushes, okay, now, that's God. No. And so he had to look at it from a different perspective to see what God was trying to show him. So as you approach your problems, understand something. God can show you something you've never seen before. He can reveal options that you don't even know exist. He can show you a route that you are unaware of. So this morning, as you're approaching your burning bush, understand God is saying, I can do things that you have never seen before. Therefore, it's not up to you how you're going to overcome your Midian. It's not up to you how to figure out how to overcome your stress. He said, you have to rest in me that I can do things that you've never seen before. Third, he said, I can keep things that should be consumed. I can keep things that should be consumed. Here was a bush that was on fire. Fire consumes. God says, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the thing that should destroy, the thing it is acting upon, he says, I know how to hold something and preserve it and keep it, though it should be consumed. Now, if Moses is going to go before Pharaoh, don't you think that this message would be particularly important to him? That Pharaoh is like a fire, and he's going to consume whatever he wants to consume. Why? Because he has all the power. So Pharaoh can consume. He says, you're dead, you're dead. So Moses is getting ready to go before Pharaoh, the fire, the all-consuming fire, and all of a sudden he needs to know a message inside of his miracle. It is, Moses, when you go before Pharaoh, I will keep you, though you should be consumed. And I guarantee you, all of us that have walked by faith and not by sight for very long, there's been some things in your life that should have consumed you. Can't I get an amen? There's some things in your life that should have consumed you. And you even look back and you say, I don't know how I made it through that. I shouldn't have made it through that. Some of you were being dumb in your sin, doing dumb things, and you say to yourself, I should have been consumed by that. And yet, God is capable of keeping you when you should have been consumed. And he's not keeping you just so that you can exist. He's keeping you because he has something he's going to reveal to you. He has a vision for your life, but you're going to have to add belief to your blindness if you want to see this morning. Two things that I want us to look at whenever you get ready for the shift. There is a decision that unlocks a vision from God. There's a decision that unlocks a vision from God. And that decision is you're going to take a second look with a fresh set of eyes. That you're going to see it not from your perspective, but you're going to say, I'm going to get up to the higher ground so that I can get a vantage point and look at this not from my perspective, not from what's best for me, not from what I think I should do, not from what I've done in the past, but I'm going to look at it from God's perspective. There's something just beneath the surface that God is trying to show me. And if you've been hungry long enough to know what God's will is, and then all of a sudden you see something and it's something different. He shows you something. It's something you better press in. You better draw closer if you want to know God's will for your life. And so there's a decision that leads to, that unlocks, that reveals God's vision for your life. And that is that you want to see what he has, that you want to know, you want to hear. And the moment that you add faith to it, let me say this. Whenever he added faith to it, God's like, tell me what you see now. You see, before when you were just taking a glance, you didn't see it. You saw something that was kind of neat, kind of amazing, but you didn't give it a second thought. But when you added faith to it, now tell me what you see. Add faith to it. Now tell me what you hear. Add faith to it. Tell me how you feel about it now. Can you imagine in your own life the obstacles, the stresses, the struggles that you're in right now? If you added faith to it, what you could see? If you added faith to it, what you could hear? If you added faith to it, how it would change the way you feel about it? Understand this. I'm not talking about it would change the thing. The thing didn't change. It was the same exact thing with a shift in perspective. I know there's someone in here this morning that you have the same thing. You're looking at the same thing every day, the same thing every week. And that thing is not going to change. But what can change? What can you control? Your perspective about the thing. If you got a God perspective, imagine the options and the opportunities that could be available to you this morning if you just shifted your perspective. Two things that Moses said, if you read the rest of the chapter at home today, tonight, he said, God, when I go before this people, I know these people. He goes, who am I? They're not going to believe me. God, I don't have the ability. I'm not eloquent. And some of you, can you relate? Like, does anybody have any stress about getting in front of a group of people and talking or sharing? Anybody? Can I get an amen? That's a common phobia for many people. Moses was getting ready to deliver 1 million people. He says, they're going to be looking at me, God, the shepherd from Midian, who has fallen from Pharaoh's house all the way out to the middle of struggle and stress. And they're going to look at me and they're going to say, who is this guy? He stutters. He's not very eloquent. I mean, he's the Jethro's son-in-law. I mean, who is this guy? And God is saying to Moses, he's like, you're right, Moses. He says, your ability is less than your calling. I've called you to deliver my people, and you lack the ability to do it. Whenever you come to this realization that God's calling on your life is greater than your natural ability, you are exactly where God wants you to be. Because, you see, his ability is equal to your calling. His ability is equal to your calling. Your ability is not equal to your calling. What do you then need in order to accomplish God's calling? You have to add his ability to his calling on your life, and then all of a sudden you can do incredible things. And the cool thing about it is when you do the right thing, the right way, when God says it's all said and done, do you know who they're gonna believe did that? He says, they're gonna know that only God can do it like that. When I put 10 plagues on that house and the last one is going to set you free and they're going to give you all their stuff, they're going to give you all their treasure, all their trophies, and you're going to walk out not empty-handed, but you'll walk out with riches. And then I will take them out to the Red Sea, I will part it, you will walk across on dry ground, and I will destroy them all at the same time. He says, now when I get done doing all of that, he says, they will know that I am God. When you do the right thing, the right way, then God gets the credit and you get to watch it happen. But that only happens when you add belief to your blindness. When you get the right vision, you hear the right voice, God reveals his plan, you feel inadequate, and then you realize that you have to come to the end of your power, the end of your plan, the end of your strength. And he steps in with his power, with his plan, and with his purpose, and he makes it perfect when it's all said and done. I want to pray for you guys at this time. Would you bow your heads? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, I ask that you would open eyes this morning. God, I pray that they would hear the question being asked to their heart, do you believe I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? According to your faith, be it done unto you. You are your limitation this morning. Your look is your limitation. If you're going to casually glance at God all throughout your life, you'll never know. You'll never know his voice. You'll never know his vision for your life. At some point, you have to stop and take a second look at that thing. You're gonna have to stop and take a second look about what you're doing, how you're doing it, and is God getting the glory? some point there's going to have to be a shift. Or you're going to be stuck in Midian all your life. Stuck in stress. Stuck in strife all your life. Listen to me, at some point, you have to say, it's not about me. If you know Jesus this morning, at some point you have to say, it's not about me. God, add faith. Add faith to fix my broken vision this morning. Let's all just take a moment and pray that before we sing. God, add faith to my broken vision so that I might see. God, add faith to my hearing that I might hear. God, add faith to my heart that I might change the way I feel about the thing. The thing isn't going to change, but how I see it, how I perceive it, and how I feel about it can change this morning in an instant. God, help us to realize that change only happens in that chair when we come to the end of ourselves and we say, God, I need you. I believe that you can, and I believe that you will. Would you guys stand with us as we sing?